Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Well, good evening. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. And I'm your host, Apostle Cheney, with... Amen. Amen on this little rainy day today. But we give honor to the Spirit of the Lord, and we praise Him. Yes, and we praise Him for just being a good God. Amen. We have with us a special guest, a powerful man of God, has been in ministry for many years. He is a senior bishop of the hospital church and chancellor at St. Thomas Christian College, a man that is known here in the city of Jacksonville, none other than Bishop Zemekio Jackson. Welcome, sir.
It's good to be here.
Amen, amen. And we know that this is going to be awesome, because the subject and the topic that we're going to be talking about, I believe, is going to bless you and bless those that are listening. We're going to talk about the church position and the declining of morality that's in the confounds of the church, not only the church, but our surroundings locally in our communities. We're going to come from a pre-subject of position, or subtitle position. And I want to say that it is mean posture, stance, poise, attitude, and stand, and location, and et cetera. The state that we're living in right now, I literally believe that we are in an apostolic age, but the Lord is wanting to do much more and greater. And I believe that we affect society. Bishop, I wanted to ask you this here, knowing that you're well-rounded, amen, especially being a chancellor, amen, of a college, and we got you on, and we thank you, sir, for being a part of this broadcast and this radio, because we know that you're the man to go to. Amen. I listen to you preach, Doc. Okay. You can preach. Amen. And I wanted to ask this and propose this to you. What is the attitude of the church's behavior and modern society? What do you see that the church attitude in partaking to or addressing immorality in the church or in society in itself?
It's kind of amazing that you say that. I've had to contend with a counseling pastors. I do a fellowship in conjunction with pastoring, and run it, being a part of the college. Pastors are experiencing a decline of morality in their confines of their local church. And the challenge is that many of the people that we minister to are not as bothered by the decline morality as the pulpit and the leadership structure. Mm. And so the pastor has the challenge of balancing two types of churches. Mm. One, the traditional church, grandmother them and mama them, mm-hmm. versus the young millennials,
yes.
that really don't care because they have been culturally influenced by television, all of the sensates of the society, mm-hmm. and they feel as though what we called in old church wrong, mm-hmm. that it's not even wrong, we're just wasting our time, and there are more pertinent issues that the church should address, mm-hmm. and the issues that we are addressing are very unrelevant, mm-hmm. which makes the church, in a sense, not relevant.
Oh, wow. And that's awesome, because, our approach to addressing these issues and not knowing how to, without compromise, not knowing how to allow the power of God to dictate our position and our arrival to hearing the Holy Spirit, rather than trying to come up with strategies outside of the will and the purpose of God. Well, that was a powerful example, because, men of God, we need to learn how to function, you know, within that structure. And you hit it dead on the nail. Now, how has the posture and the church's stance adapted to mainstream compromise? Have we adapted to mainstream compromise for the furtherance of the gospel,
I would say absolutely. By and large, the church does not realize, or have not realized, to the degree in which it has compromised or have made adjustments.
Yes.
Somehow or another, that she progressively made this decline.
Mm-hmm.
She progressively thought that that's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time in holiness inside the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that would not go on.
Mm-hmm.
But progressively, because she allowed different forms of worship,
mm-hmm.
the tapestries, which we call a form of evangelism, we
yes.
thought that this would be the best way to reach our youth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, if you follow the chronological history, what has always made the church powerful and grow, when Christianity was exposed, why it did what it did is because it was unique.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. It had structure.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were in a polytheistic culture
mm-hmm.
where anything went.
Yes.
But the one thing about Christianity, it had a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going on is that we've lost the standard.
Wow.
So we've polluted the potency
mm-hmm.
of the church ability. So I think that I don't think we realize, but we've left founders' principles
mm-hmm.
And we've come so far that we don't even realize how far we came. Oftentimes I say that some of the church fathers, I believe the Lord called some of the church mothers
mm-hmm.
and fathers own home to glory, because I don't think they could have adjusted to the way the church is in its mindset
mm-hmm.
as it relates to where we are now. The challenge is, how do you address the church adequately, I think,
mm-hmm.
because those that have the message of holiness
mm-hmm.
Also struggle with the message of relevancy.
Okay, yes.
And so it's a challenge, because even though they hold the standard of holiness and
mm-hmm.
they believe that, you know, some are to the extreme of holiness or hell, or you're
okay,
coming
yes.
up in those
uh-huh.
days. But the truth of the matter is, the totalitarianness of their entire message isn't relevant. I don't want to be overbearing.
Oh, amen.
I was flying back. Happened to be flying, and we got a private plane now, and it allows us to get back and forth. But we're on a commercial flight, and just enjoying ourselves beside a guy that's a multimillionaire. I knew him. And was a big person at a well-known church in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, beautiful Anglo-Saxon brother, we fellowship Christian on a lot of different committees.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how's things going to the church? He said, well, you know, I'm still a giver, but I really don't go. And I asked, I said, well, you've got a great new pastor. He's a great Bible teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go? His word was, the church at the range of where I am does not address my issues. It's irrelevant to me. It's not relevant.
Jesus.
And I stopped and I realized that before indicting him and before coming down with him with my preacher tone, I dare you to say the church
yes.
is unrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped and realized something, and I asked him, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
He says, the church does not address my issues. He says, I've sat there and hurt, and no one ministered to my hurt. He says, I was given biblical scriptures and I was given phraseology concerning scripture, but it was never intuitively placed in such a way that's relevant to where I'm living, to heal me where I hurt. And so there's so many people out there that I think that they've just thrown the, they'll take your holiness message. They'll take your live right message.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just first address the issue that I have that bothers me,
yes.
if you deal with the fact that I'm divorced and it's happened, and how do I make it through those emotional moments of depravity? How do I make it through the fact that I'm in an abusive relationship and I don't know how to make it?
Yes.
How do I deal with the fact that my world is crumbled around me and I don't know what to do? How do I deal with the fact that the child that I raised with value structure that seemed to identify with that of Judeo-Christian values and they're completely to the far left or far right and I don't know how to reach them? And I think that by and large, we've become great biblicists.
Yes.
We dissect the text. We perfected
mm-hmm.
the art of exegeting and eisegeting and
mm-hmm.
making sure it sounds good and putting a cute little bow and a story on
yes.
it. But the fact of the matter is, we have not, and I use this word all the time, we've stopped life coaching our people, coaching them through life with biblical principles. So if we don't coach them, someone else will.
Yes.
So Oprah, other shows,
mm-hmm.
other
fashion,
markets
yes. mm-hmm.
will begin to give them advice
mm-hmm.
and they don't need the advice of the church any longer, because there are so many different outlets that can speak into their life.
Yes, and that's awesome, because, and I hope those young pastors that you know the Lord has called you to minister the gospel, they hear this, because when we begin to direct the man of God, begin to speak to how do we deal with those without compromising biblical scriptures and having the ability to discern someone's heart. The Lord ministers to a person's soulish realm before he begin to dictate a lot of work, because a lot of people don't, like you said, man of God, a lot of people don't know what a theopany is or understand the eschatology. They don't understand that, and we have to begin to deal with that individual spiritually as the set-apart spirit, the Holy Ghost, begin to direct without compromising and without going and trying to reach them and having them to say, okay, it's okay to do what you need to do, go where you want to go, and we don't want to do that. We can't compromise to that, but yet we can deal with that person's soul and love and in the knowledge of God's word. Where does the church need to be located in it, or our location in a moral declining world, or spiritual and natural responsibility? Where are we in this stage of age, our position and our location? We talk about market ministry or the marketplace ministry. Do we need to go out other than the structure of the four corner walls, if you will? What is our location now? You know, some of us, we're saying, well, you need to just come to the church. Do we need to go out there and compel them? What is the church's position and as the Holy Spirit minister to you?
I think we made the mistake that ministry happens exclusively in a Sunday morning, Wednesday night setting, or a Tuesday or Thursday night. The irony is that the ministry of Jesus transcended walls. He talks about the church, the ecclesia, the called out. He talks about the church, but not in the form of building as much it was in building people.
Yes.
I think that we had a spin on church ministry towards doing outreach, but it was for the furtherance of building the filling the building and not for the aspect of changing lives.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And so all of our programs were centered around, and so we took a corporate response. Okay, we're doing all this outreach. The church is not necessarily growing. And that's several reasons why it didn't, because, I mean, if you're going to go all the way corporate, then you've got to understand that when we evangelize and people come in, we've got to have a team to cultivate those people that come in.
Yes.
And most of our churches were not suited to deal with them. So when they came in, we had church bigotry and snobbery that was going in church, and we didn't have, and the pastor had the heart, but he never took the time to do what I call basic minister customer service training, showing the people the heart of God to deal with broken people that come in, because they come in drama'd out with issues, hurts, pains, and we were never equipped. So what happened is we started doing it to fill the building and not truly disciple the people. You know, that was the majesty of Jesus' ministry. You show me the church he was trying to divert the people to when he ministered to. You show me, you know, it was such and such cathedral or the greater this church.
Come
or
on
that.
Now. Yes.
He did. That was not the format. The format was literally in transforming lives and doing it. And so I think the position of the church is that we have to extend. So, you know, one of the things that we make, the church I pastor, you know, I do a ministry with CEOs. I'm working with businessmen.
Yes.
I've gone to local car lot dealers and investors and businesses, the tire shop owner, various business owners, and I brought them together. Every Friday, I do a training piece from either with our church or away, and I show them how to maximize their money.
Yes.
By showing them how to maximize and to give 20% return on their dollar, they listen to me. And it creates an opportunity for me to share Christ with them and explain the plan that God's plan for their life. I think we've got to develop non-conventional methods in order to win them.
Yes.
See, if they believe we care, they will follow us anywhere. They'll
come
listen to what we say.
Yes, yes,
but they've
got to
believe that we legitimately care, watch this, and that we have no expectation from them.
That's
we
good.
Give almost like God.
That's good.
And, you know, we are, the Lord's given us a heart because we understand that there's a perception of people externally that the only reason the church exists. Now, this is far from the truth, but if you're novistic looking at it, you don't know that the church exists for money and they need their money and their offering. And it's about what that you can do for the church. And the church has lost the image of being that thing that cares. Not that's pockets of the church. It's not like that.
Yes.
But by and large, the internalized perception of the world is that we don't care.
That, and that's a powerful statement. And that brings us to our next question. And what when we talk about prophetic moment, we're speaking of something that what is said in that moment you could take and you could begin to build upon, and you become infused by it. And then by that, you begin to create your surroundings, your atmospheres, and you begin to shift in where that God has called you. Now, corporately, we're speaking of the body. We're speaking of the church, the state of the church. And in the man of God, he said something and where he left off, and I want to ask him this here: how can we improve, and what is needed to establish the church's reputation or to restore the trust and admiration?
First of all, listen to me when I say this. Correction without love is abuse.
Come on.
Correction without love is abuse. I think one of the things is that we... the first thing, it goes back to the classical definition of extending the heart of God in love.
Yes.
If they legitimately believe that we love them, we can have the ability to reach them, correct them, share with them which way they need to do. Mm-hmm. It's almost like discipline me, but I don't feel like you love me. You don't care about me. It's abuse. I'm being punished. So I think if the church will do the works of Jesus,
yes,
more than just saying the works of Jesus, because we've got a propaganda game going on.
Come on.
We talk great stuff, but the implementation of those things are not. And I think that then there are pockets of the church that are actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And we've got to come together to be able to work, because we work it better when we work it together.
Yes.
So that the world can see the impact that we're making in the heart of the church. I believe that when they see what we do, you know, we've got a ministry that we're developing called First Responders. And First Responders, if someone gets hurt and injured, we send a bunch of saints and missionaries, and they go to that person's family. If someone dies, we show up. They're not Christians. They're not necessarily, they don't go to our church. We just show up and we cook food and cut the yard,
yes,
and love on them and show them the love of God. Because then, and do you understand how many people at that time start saying, whose church is this? Not you. You don't go to church. No, these just church people. They are literally mesmerized by the fact that God's people care.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because people start looking like, okay, what do I need to give? What's the gimmick?
Yes.
Well, there's no gimmick. It's just God.
Yes. Amen. And you said it, Bishop, years ago, 30, 40 years ago, the church was like that. They didn't have a lot of knowledge when it comes down to scriptural education, but they had love. People know when the church came, when there were topics that was going on, when people was hurt, then someone would come and visit, like you were saying. I remember years ago, probably like 28 years ago, a young man, he was going through sickness, and me and a couple of other brothers, we went there, and we had a heart to go and to intercept what the enemy was trying to do. And so I literally believe the cultivation of coming together, the synergy, especially in Jacksonville. I want to say it, Bishop Guns, he said it several weeks ago, is that there's so much of, and locally in this community, so much of competition, whereas the millennials, especially the millennials, begin to see, well, the church is hypocrites because we have not met. Paul said that I don't preach with man's enticing words, but a demonstration the power of God. So, Bishop, you were saying that demonstration. We have to begin to go into the highways and hedges and begin to minister to the hearts of the people, knowing that we don't, and you said it, not to desire to accept anything, not to expect anything. And so they think that it's all a gimmick, especially the millennials. It's a gimmick. It's all about money, money, money. And you mentioned those pockets. Yet there are churches that are here in other places in the country that are doing something. And if you're that church that is doing something, amen. God is with you to help you, to excel you, and to elevate you into the things, because it's all about kingdom. We have compromised too much. We have allowed, for the sake of the kingdom, souls of the kingdom, allow things to come in, and it is another spirit. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. And so now you're operating soulishly, and you're not producing disciples. I would like to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to the hands of the Bishop Zemekio Jackson. What we have done is we have not produced disciples. Yeah. And those pastors that have been there, now they're doing this and they're doing that, and then now the millennials or other people saying, well, the church is fake. The Holy Ghost is about to begin to revitalize the church as you see it, the ecclesia as you see it, because there are those that are coming, amen, in position that God is positioning them to produce Jesus. And I can't come and tell you, well, what you're doing is right. No accountability, no responsibility. No, the Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. We're allowing these, and it's not saying that, you know, we should talk about one another and criticize one another, but there should be accountability and responsibility within the compounds of the church. Have we lost our accountability and responsibility, Bishop?
I think you said it best. I think in some respects we have. And because we've not had accountability, many of the pastors that are experiencing, and you may be out there, you're saying, Doc, I want to be able to do these things, mm-hmm. but I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. I've got a heart to do it, but I don't know how to be able to go out. Mm-hmm. I've never been adequately mentored. Mm-hmm. My pastor wasn't mentored under a pastor mm-hmm. that could teach them. And so I don't even have a pulse on people such as yourself and those that are in the community that have a heart to be able to do this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I think we see the need, but we keep doing the same thing over and over, eventually thinking we're going to stumble into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is it has to be a format in which we come together and said, hey, brethren, this is the way to do it. Brethren, this is the way. Let me help you. Let me grab you by the hand. Let me show you how to invade the territory of the ungodly. Let me show you how to be able to set up homeless shelters for runaway girls. Come on, let me take you by the hand and show you how to run programs that will transform academia and academics with people and transform their lives. Let me show you. And I think what we need is more teachers,
yes,
more spiritual fathers, more mentors that will do that. But ready, we need people that will not have the spirit of being a bastard.
Come on now.
That will humble themselves to be a recipient of mentorship and understand that when the Lord says, our Father which art in heaven, Father comes not just with a purse giving you money.
Come on.
But fathership comes with the ability to correct, to discipline, to encourage, to build up. Mm-hmm. Not only was daddy and mama was the first ones to give me a car, mm-hmm. they were also the first person that put a hand on my backside.
Come on now.
And so I've got to be willing to listen to the correction and discipline, but I've got to not be lord over, but love and push to excellence. I think we're in an awesome position because the propaganda of the enemy started 30 years ago when he began to taint the image of the church with all of the Jim Baker scandals and all of the things that go on. The church never fought back. We never came up with a different position. They started looking at us that we were corrupt. We were messed up. Yes. We've had scandals and mess that came in the body of Christ. And we just said, well, the Lord will take care of it eventually. You know, if we just doing the right thing and keep doing the right thing, it'll pass by.
Yes.
Well, it didn't. It took root. And now there is this negative paralysis and parameters about the church.
Mm.
And how do you undo negative work? Let your good works outdo your bad.
Yes.
Let your presence be seen. Let's hit these streets. Mm. Let's show the love of God. It may take 5 years. It may take a half of a decade.
Yes.
But listen to me. What we will do when we're on assignment, do you understand?
Mm.
That when that prophet heard the assignment of God, he was called to Nineveh. He made the trip in half the time. as we began to walk, they were healed. If we stepped our feet towards the water, that all of a sudden the waters went back. There is an assignment on us. If we will be obedient to do it, we'll see the favor of God like we've never seen it. So we're in an awesome time, an awesome time in the body of Christ. So I'm not giving up. And listen to me, moral decadence, listen to me. When people know their love, they will modify. You find a woman that's in love with a man, and he's got standards, and he wants this done and that done. Do you understand? When that chick falls in love, she'll say, okay, daddy, she happy. If the church, ever allow them to fall in love with God. But listen to me, how are we going to, because many of them don't know our God.
Yeah, that's good
because
stuff,
they've seen the testimony that the church has presented, or the presentation of the world as it's presented the church.
Oh, my
when
goodness.
When we transform that, what the ecclesia, what the church, what the body of Christ
now
is going to do. And so these are the kind of ministries that we need to catapult in the nation.
Yes, yes.
And so there are brothers in this city that are working. Get with them. Mm-hmm. Undergird what they're doing. Dr. Guns, like you said, is doing good with Save Our Sons. Bishop Vaughn's doing some stuff. This pastor's doing, they're doing across. And guess what? We've got to come together and unite ourselves, because we are stronger when we work it together. I often say we work it better when we work it together.
That's, and I hope someone was able to hear that. Is that synergy? When we do this program, we bring in pastors and bishops and those that is anointed, other than the those that are panelists, powerful ministries, Apostle Turner, Prophet Freeman, and Prophet Evans that is with us in ministry. We come together and we try to bring those that would come and minister and have weight. And as we come together, we become weighty, not a lesser being, because we're created into the image of God. Once we become that regenerated spirit, the scripture says this right here, until we come into the fullness, till we come into unity together, Bishop. And that's where the power is. That's where the glory manifests itself. The scripture says that in the book of Acts, when they say, now, Lord, behold them that threaten your apostles, grant unto them that they may preach with what? With boldness. Hallelujah. Then the place, the Bible say, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The power, when we come together and we activate the kingdom and we release a different atmosphere that's able to shake the things that we did years ago, it hurt the church. It laying up with this person and that person, this particular pastor. Now we have to try to uproot those things. And I believe that there are ministries out there that have a love of God, have a heart of the Lord, and want to not to compromise, because when we compromise, we're operating soulishly. We can't produce and manifest the power of God like that. It has to be Spirit. And like you said, man of God, not just to, it has to be accountability. You bishops, you guys, stop trying to promote ministries that you know that person is not ready, because they're going to create bastards. We're going to take this last minute for Bishop, and we're going to come back, and we're going to say something. 1 minute, Bishop, give your heart to the people. And tell them about your ministry and what you're doing real quick.
We're in Jacksonville, Florida, the hospital church. We're here in Jacksonville in North Carolina, one church in two different states. The Lord's doing awesome work. We're in Jacksonville. We're in Arlington, 1072 Arlington Road. And, of course, president of St. Thomas Christian University on Arlington Expressway. I'm excited about what God's doing. But most importantly, Pastor, listen to me. If you're out there, pastors, and you're saying, I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. I don't know how to effectively place these things that you're saying that I know it's in my heart to do. Follow up with Bishop. I won't give out numbers and all that kind of stuff in this platform. Follow up with Apostle. Get with Apostle Cheney. Touch bases with him. He'll get you correspondence with me. Let us join forces and help you.
Amen. And until next time, we want our gathering places tomorrow, a new relaunch. 575 Oakley Plantation Parkway, 1130. Join us. Until then, God bless you.
Be blessed.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.